think? Well, that's good. All right. I'm going to turn to Hebrews, the first chapter. If you would grab a Bible, not first chapter, third chapter. If you grab a Bible tonight. And there it is. Grab my book. Young people are going to be reading more in a concentrated study on from this book, Age of Ages, and the Christian's future, and it explores or explains, or you hear me talking about it, because a lot of people are caught up on authors. I'm not. I'm caught up on what they write. And it's a very good book to read to have some idea of what you're of the believer's future. You know, the believer's future. And I know for all of us, if we talk about it, everybody in here, if I ask you today, what is your future, you're going to say eternal life, and hopefully if you're in God, you're going to say, I'm going to heaven.
Yes.
And you're absolutely right. But we don't just remain in heaven, just sitting around heaven, the planet heaven forever. Really, in the end times, if you know the word of God, God brings his city of New Jerusalem from the planet heaven to the planet earth.
Yes.
And God will rule the universe from the planet earth. And the city of New Jerusalem will be on the planet earth.
Yes.
And kings and dominions and powers will come in and out of the city of New Jerusalem, which will be on the planet earth.
Yes.
And from there, God will rule all the rest of the universe, all the planets and all the different places. And someone would say to me, if that's the case, then what are they ruling on the other planets? Because they all just rock. No, that's not true. Yes. They're inhabitants on other planets. They all belong to God. But the high point of us, and the special point about us, is that we're the ones that God made in his own image, who are like him, and we're the ones God is going to use to rule and reign with him.
Yes.
And I know it sounds like something with this, where is it coming out of this, all this from? It's in the word of God.
Yes, right? It is.
You
yes.
have to read it.
Yes.
And get beyond just the very basics. And I guess this is a lot of what Paul meant when he said in the fifth chapter, for when for the time you ought to be teachers yourself, you have needed one teach you again. What the first principles of the oracles of God.
Yeah.
So tonight I'm looking in Timothy for a moment. It's good to have the youth out, and I have one more book that I got for your name, Dion. Spell your name.
T'Andre.
Okay, I got it. I have one more for him. It's Sister Gamble, so she'd like to have one, so I'll get one for her, too. As many people as want to read it. But you have to have some idea. I'm a firm believer. I could be wrong for a lot of people. There are different things that motivate different people. For me, I don't do well. You can only threaten me so long.
Yes.
And I stop feeling threatened. Even though there's danger. For me, I need to know the benefit of doing what I'm doing.
Yes.
And for the believers, I believe this. If the more believers that have a good idea that they understand what the grace of God is about and understand what eternal life is and what they're going to have, the younger people start to learn that, hey, we're going to live forever and we're going to be with God, the less likely it is that they will turn from God.
Amen.
If we make Jesus just be about coming to church, everybody gets tired of that.
Yes.
There has to be more to God.
Yes.
Than just coming here on yes. Sundays and Tuesdays and Fridays. There's so much more to God than that. The reason for coming here is to learn about God. So that's what we're doing. So we're going to tonight. Now, Minister Smith is going to actually teach the youth on Age of Ages. And I was thinking she might introduce it tonight, but she says she's not ready yet.
I can.
Well, if you want to do that, you can.
Yeah.
All right. All your Age of Ages people. T'Andre.
I ordered 3 more books tonight, so they'll be here in a couple of days.
That's okay. You brought your book?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They got it.
Where's Tiandre's book?
Oh. Where's Tiandre? Whose book do you have?
That's the
Master
Chamber. Over here. So we need to order, what, 3 more? So I need to order 3 more?
Okay. Where's the coordinate?
She's
okay. That's understandable. Well, here, you can write your name in that one.
Thank you.
Give your Shannon hers back.
Yes,
the only problem is you have to make sure you read it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And you can, yeah. And we'll see where we go from there. I think this is a lifeline. Now, for the rest of us old people who are sitting up in here, she said, "Speak for yourself." Hey, once you reach 35, you start entering into middle age, and then you get 20 years of middle age. Actually, you get 30 years of middle age. 65, really, 62 is when you're really a senior citizen. Let's look at Hebrews for a few minutes, and we've got about 20, 25 minutes, and then we'll be done. 30 minutes. Hebrews chapter 3. And this is for, you have your Bible with you? Of course you do. Why not ask? It's just the way you were looking at me, it was like, you know, okay.
Would you come down here so he can see you?
Hebrews chapter 3.
I'm trying to get
okay. It is a shock, isn't it?
You don't have a suit on.
Oh, no, because I can hear, but it's like I'm so used to looking and reading your lips, so I'm just paying attention.
Oh, okay.
I'm just used to being attentive by looking at someone.
Okay, that's fine. Well, that's good. I usually, when I listen to people, I look at them, too.
Yeah.
Actually, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
If you, matter of fact, if someone's up speaking, if they see me looking away, I'm not paying
attention. That's right.
They can, you know.
Okay.
Okay, what?
Okay. Okay. Yes, right.
Let's look at chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about Moses Sunday. Mm-hmm. We'll finish this up today. I want to look down to verse number 7. I'm sorry. We'll pick it up from 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And here, Paul makes the point of, he makes this transition from talking about Moses to the point where the reason why the people weren't able to follow Moses is because they weren't listening to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. They should have been listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because these two go together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In Hebrews, it says in there, wherefore your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. And in verse 10 in Hebrews, still in 3, wherefore I was grieved. And remember when I told you, when we were talking before, when it says that when God says I was grieved, or he says that the Holy Spirit is grieved, he says I was frustrated with those people.
Mm-hmm.
He says I was not pleased with them. They weren't listening. Why do I need to listen to God? Because God knows what he's doing and he knows where I should go and how to go. Why do I need to listen to God? Because God has great plans for me.
Yes.
He plans, as he says in Jeremiah, to bring me to an expected end, not just, and when he says an expected end, his expected end, which is so much, it's not just the blessings in the earth is not just it is. I expect God to lead me to a point of, to as people like to say on television, to a wealthy place.
Yes.
I expect that.
Yes.
Because God says that, you know, the blessings of the Lord make it rich, and he said we would be lenders and not borrowers, and he said another place, wealth and riches shall dwell in my house. So I expect God to bring me to a wealthy place. I expect him to bring me to a healthy place,
yes,
mentally and physically and every other thing. I expect the Lord to answer all my needs because the Bible says my God shall
supply
all my needs. But ultimately, that's just it. That's the short-term goal. You know, it's just like in saving money. You have a short-term goal. And I used to be a financial advisor. We used to ask people, what are your immediate goals? What are your goals for the next 3 to 5 years? What are your next goals from 6 to 15 years? And what are your next goals for the rest of your life? And depending on that, you set your money up so that it works out for all those times.
Yes.
You know, 1 to 3 years, put it in a savings account. 3 to 5 years, you put it in a money market. 5 to 10 years, so forth and so on. God is the same way. He leads us and guides us in the short term. That's the healings that we pray for, the deliverance that we pray for, the guidance that we pray for, the protection that we pray for us and our families. The earth, everything that God does for us in the earth is extremely near and short time.
Yes.
It seems like a long-term goal for us because our lives are so, because to us, time seems to move slowly for us, but in God's time, our lives are just a breath.
Yeah.
So then, in the long term, God's expected in what he really plans to bring us to. In order to get there, you must obey God because God has already had to deal with beings that have not obeyed before.
Yeah.
Because the earth was set up until Lucifer fell, and Lucifer fell through disobedience. So God says, when I turn over the running of the universe again to someone, and when I get someone else to help me, there are going to be people who will obey.
Amen.
So, obedience is something that absolutely must be just to be saved at all. You might not be. Matter of fact, none of us are. It's a matter of degrees. None of us are perfect in obedience.
Yes, that's true.
In any form of the word. We are obedient enough. We are obedient enough to be in God. We need to be wherever we are in obedience in the earth. We need to not be satisfied with our obedience.
Yes.
We need to be more than satisfied with God's mercy and his grace.
Yes.
But in and of ourselves, we need to always say, where God is concerned, I can do better. No matter how deep you are, and I'm not using deep right now in a sarcastic way. I mean, really.
Yes.
No matter how close to God you are, we have to have the mindset, as close as I am to God, I have to be like the Apostle Paul and desire to be even closer. Because the closer you are to God, the better off you are. And there's no point that you reach while you're in the earth where you're close enough to God where you need no more.
Right.
You might not ever get any more, but you could always
get more.
Need more. I might not ever get any more money, but I sure could use more.
Yes,
that's for sure.
Yes.
And in God, it's the same way. I might be okay at the first place where I am in God, but I would be better if I was closer to God.
So then, when
Paul writes about Moses and how Moses was over his house and how he was being led, he says the reason why the people had a hard time with that was because in the wilderness was because they would not listen to the Holy Spirit. And he says, and the Spirit is saying, when the Lord speaks, you need to, at that time, today, now, not later. God is not someone you should ever put off and say to God, we all make the statement, and it's a true statement, Lord, I'm going to do better.
Yes, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with making the statement, Lord, I'm going to do better. Because you need to want to always do better. Because even when you're doing better, then there's, I can't think of another term, there's more better. There's some more better.
Yes.
You know, you can better your better. Yes. Better your best.
Yes.
But his point being is, when the Holy Spirit is able to reach us, because it's a struggle. Has anyone ever taught a young child anything or taught somebody something and it was difficult teaching them? And then when they finally catch on, they said, oh, and the light comes on, and you realize, wow, this is great. They got it now.
They got it, yeah.
And God is the same way. The Holy Ghost you know, for us, it's not a struggle to him, but it's a struggle with us for him to teach us anything and to get us any place. And when we get it, God is pleased. He says, wow, they finally got it. Isn't that great? So he makes the point here, in the day that you know, for the Spirit says, in the day that you hear my voice, at the time that you hear it, not hear it now, going to do it later. Might not be a later. At the time that you hear his voice, then in that time, but harden not your heart is a way of saying you should not resist him or you should obey. Don't put God off. I hear what you're saying, God, but you know, I have to think about it. What's there to think about? If you are to a point where you can hear what God is saying, if you have grown up in God to hear the voice of God, then you need to obey God.
Amen.
If you get to the point where you start to understand the word of God and realize the Spirit is speaking to you, then you need to obey the Spirit. There's never going to be a mistake that you're going to make by obeying God. So he says in 9, wherefore the Holy Ghost saith today, 7, I'm sorry, if you will hear his voice, you'll hear God's voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation or in the time that they provoked God or grieved God in the wilderness. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Don't put me off because they tried me. In other words, they dared God. We'll do what we want to do and we're going to go into Canaan anyway.
Yeah.
Some people are determined they're going to do what they want to do and they're going to heaven anyway. They live any kind of life, they're going to go to heaven anyway.
Yes.
So I have eternal life with God anyway.
Yes.
You know, you tell me that I can't do this and go to God, but I'm going to have life anyway. I'll say this because I have all adults here, and I'm something that's on my mind. I was talking to Paul about earlier today. This is 2022, and I know this is not 1950, and it's not 1970, it's not even 1980. When women who were not married, being pregnant, was at least to some degree frowned on. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was born out of wedlock. A whole lot of us were, and a whole lot of that, so I'm not beating that up. But I have a problem that rubs me wrong with all the nice publicity and the fam and the friendly stuff that Rihanna's getting because she's pregnant with her boyfriend, and it's just so acceptable. It's just so nice. She's going to be a great father. She's going to be a great mother. And I hope she is a great mother, and I hope he is a great father. Why don't y'all get married?
Yes, that's right.
I mean, you're telling, you know, I am not knocking unwed mothers or, you know, that's not what I'm trying to say. But you have all these young girls and young women who are watching you. And you're their idol, unfortunately. Idols, you know, you shouldn't have an idol. The person they worship should be God. And you're making it so acceptable to them. Who would otherwise, there should be some disclaimer which says, you know, we hope y'all do well, but really, by all rights, y'all, you know, if you got this much of a relationship, you want this baby this bad, y'all so in love, why don't y'all get married?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And instead of telling every young girl that likes Rihanna, hey, you know, find your man that you like, have a baby with him. We have there's enough of a problem of unwed mothers as
it
is.
It is, yes. Yes.
You know, without making it, and at least in the past, and we, you know, whoever we are, we, you know, God's merciful, we got over some, we ain't beating up nobody, so we're not even there. But what we're saying is, there should be some caution that says, you know, this is, We're not going to drive you out of town. We're not going to tar and feather you. We're not going to burn you at the stake. But really, it would be better if you would marry somebody before you start having babies with them.
Yes.
And the prisons are full of babies who were born without parents being married.
Yes.
Of course, you know, society has a lot of them too. I'm one of them, and everybody don't go to prison because of it. But it would be better, and especially for us who are in God, it makes our job a little more difficult and makes the devil's job a whole lot easier.
Yes.
Even in Hollywood, this is really on my mind, so let me speak it out.
Mm-hmm.
even in Hollywood in the past, when actors and actresses had kids, illegitimately, I guess the term is kind of sounds like a horrible term, but anyway, had them and they even kept it a secret.
Yes, they did. Yep.
It could ruin their careers.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So you find out later on that this person that you know is actually their mother is really so and so, and their dad's really so and so. They even now, you know, it's on Good Morning America, and it's not the tabloids, you know, where you know it's not in the scandal sheets. It's on Good Morning America. And the Today Show.
Yes.
And everybody's just wishing them well, like they, you know, have this great thing going on. Mm-hmm. You know, at least Beyonce and Jay-Z are married. I mean, you know, give them that. You know, and at the same time, you got Nick Cannon have his eighth child. But the thing with Rihanna is all the young women that identify with her. That's a problem. If you're the sort of person who's in God. And you say, well, if I'm in God and I'm raising my child right, I don't want to identify with Rihanna anyway. Well, that might be true, but the woman has a fashion line out. She has all these, she's connected in all these different places, and she sings the soundtrack to the movie that Paul likes and I like, Home, the little cartoon Home.
Yeah.
That's Rihanna.
Yeah.
So this person is out in front of everybody, very much out in front. So I have a problem with that.
Yes.
And everybody who's in God, whether regardless of, you know, say, well, Bishop, you didn't grow up, you weren't sin free all your life. No, I wasn't. But, you know, I have a problem with whatever sin I was in. And if you're godly, you should have a problem
with it too. Yes.
Because there is a right way. You say, well, am I supposed to feel guilty about how I came out? No. That's why we have the blood, and that's what God is for. But it's not a matter of just going out to sin to be washed.
Yes.
Need to be washed anyway.
Right.
So I'm saying that to someone, well, how does this fit? Because when the Holy Ghost says that something is wrong, we need to listen.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And our lives would be better. And we, you know, you might be all right, you know, driving on the highway on ice, but if you can avoid driving on the ice, don't drive on it.
That's right.
You know, you might make it through. Coming through in the dead of night in a dangerous place, a dangerous part of town, that's fine. But if you can avoid driving through there, don't go through there.
Yeah, amen.
And you might somehow escape, as Paul says, and get to God in later years. But, you know, if you could avoid it, we could help our kids avoid ever taking the chance. You know, you might have this kind of life or whatever, but if you can avoid that, you should do that. Because there's danger in it.
Yes.
So when they were in the wilderness, they provoked God because they wanted to do everything other than what God wanted them to do.
Yes.
So look at 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Got 15 minutes now. I said 10th, but I meant the 11th. Forgive me. It's not even the 11th, as a matter of fact. It is 10th. Talking about the same thing. And here he's talking to the Corinthians who are Gentile saints. But he explains more here than it is in Hebrews. He says, moreover, brethren, he says, additionally, on top of all that, I would not that you should be ignorant. I don't want you to not know how that all our fathers were under a cloud and all passed through the sea. In other words, he said, I want you to know that our fathers also had they were also baptized into Christ. And so Christ had to come along, but being baptized in the sea when they came to the Red Sea and being under the cloud that led them, which is the Holy Spirit, it was the equivalent of being baptized in water and receiving the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
They were baptized in a sea and then went through the Red Sea under a cloud, and under a cloud that all passed through the sea. This is the same thing as being baptized in water. Mm-hmm. And when you get a chance, you can read your date references on it, but it'll say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they are going through the Red Sea equated to the same thing of us going into baptism in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. This is what it meant. When we're baptized in the water, we die when we go down, and when they bring us up, we're resurrected.
Amen.
It represents Christ's death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
That's why Peter says it's a sign of a good conscience before God. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In other words, they were all led by Moses, and Moses became their leader, and they were led by God.
Yes.
And they did the same thing that you and I did when we believe in Christ. They were baptized going through the Red Sea. There was nobody in the wilderness who did not go through the Red Sea.
Right.
And there was nobody who was in the wilderness with Moses who was not being led by the Holy Ghost, because the Spirit was with them. He says, and all that eat the same spiritual meat, they all had manna, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. The rock represented Christ. They had manna, which was the spiritual meat, and they drank from Christ, and that represents our communion.
Yeah.
The manna was his body, and it was his body that would be broken, and drinking from the rock was a covenant of his blood at the time, but we have the new covenant now. They all did that.
Yes.
He says they were, in other words, if we would have said they were all saved. Everybody say they were all saved.
They were all saved.
He says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And even though they were in church forever and they grew up in church, they got thrown off. He says, now these were our examples to the extent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. In other words, we ought not want to be like the sinful world. And I'm gonna always start saying the sinful world, because there's much of the world that you have to be like.
Yes.
Because if you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be like the world, or a lawyer, or a financier, or whatever. We are in the world. A teacher, an educator, that's part of the world system. So we can't just say, don't be in the world. No, don't be in sinful world.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Don't let the world bring you to sin. But you have to go to work. And you have to have a job, and you have to have government, you got to have medical, you got to have science, and you got to have education, and so forth and so on. So you can't become a hermit and be a recluse, because Jesus even said, I have not taken you out of the world.
Yes.
You're not of this world, but I haven't taken you out of it.
Yes.
You still have to pay a mortgage and buy a house and do all, go to school, get an education like everybody else. But you must not be part of the sinful world.
Yes. Yes.
They lusted after the things that were not God.
Yes.
They wanted to do the things that were given to the people to do that were other than the true and living God. That was what God had a hard time with.
Yeah.
That's what God wouldn't put up with.
Yeah.
Neither be ye idolaters, other gods as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. In other words, he said that they started getting into the idolatrous feast. And this is where Bishop Smith has a problem with the jazz festival. Yes, they have they usually have some gospel people there singing or whatever, but the jazz festival is not given to God.
No.
And someone might say, well, if I go there to see Hezekiah Walker, I'm going for the cause of God. He's preaching God and doing all those things. Well, Hezekiah Walker might have came and brought his choir to preach God. And if that's the case, go listen to Hezekiah Walker, and when he's done, you be done. Right.
Yeah.
But if you're going to hang around, until Marcus Miller and all them start playing David Sanborn and company, you have a problem.
Yes.
Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3 and 20,000. So here we are with the Rihanna thing. Don't let us start being like the world and thinking that it's okay now, since the world has approved it and no longer shuns it. And we've got, the Jeopardy champion. I'm so glad when it finally finished, was transsexual, and the whole transgender world just came out and supported him or her, whichever he prefers to be, and thought it was just great, and so forth and so on, and the Bible clearly tells us we can't go along with that.
Yes.
So we can. So, how are you supposed to treat them? Go burn their house down? No. Not give them a job? No, not that either. They're in the world. But it's like saying that there are many other things. I can't go along with racism, and I can't go along with bigotry. There are many things that I have to put up with on a daily basis and work with and get along with, but I don't go along with how you feel about it.
Yes.
It's the same thing with the homosexual community. They need a job like everybody else, and I think they deserve to be treated humanely and human and all those other things, and how can I be so steadfastly against them when there's no difference in being a homosexual and being a heterosexual if you're living in sin.
That's right.
Only
And if you if you're living with somebody and you're the high school teacher, what's the difference when you living with somebody and not married to her and you're gay? What's the difference? So I don't. But my point thing is, but I don't think you're right to be. But I know that as far as God's concerned, that portion you might be the world's greatest person, and I might like you, and we get along just fine. But it's like every other sinner I know that I like, and we get along just fine. I'm not going to beat you down every day and say, right, oh, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. I can say that to most of the people I know outside the church. But the bottom line is I know what your end is.
Yes, yes.
Amen. If you're not going to change.
Change, right.
So when he makes this point, when he says this, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 320,000. And when you read in the Old Testament, you find out that... because of fornication, serpents went out among them, and 23,000 of them were killed at one time, and that's when Aaron had to run in and stay the plague. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. In other words, they said, I'm going to do this, and if God doesn't like it, he can stop me. And he did.
Amen.
And he did. I have a problem with churches tempting people. If you can't, you know, it's 50 below and it's ice and snow and we have a whiteout and a blizzard and a winter rain all at the same time. And because you creep in the church, you come in and say, well, if you didn't show up tonight, you ain't got no faith. You're a number.
Yes, that's right.
That's tempting God. That's
tempting God. Right,
that's
don't
tempting, bring these people
yes.
out of here. And if you decided, right. well, you know, my faith told me I could make it. And I came out here and did it. Well, that's on you. But don't tell everybody else because you're not going to be responsible for them for being in wrecks and accidents and whatever. And you ought not question their faith on a night like that.
Yes.
Don't you know when it snows, God knows it's snowing?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Haven't you figured out yet that when the weather's too bad to come out in, God is aware of it?
Yes.
You know, he says, you know, neither murmur you as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And all these things happen unto them for examples, that they are written for our warning, admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In other words, he's saying, anybody who thinks they can do these things and be all right with God, you're wrong.
Yes. Amen.
If you think you can do this and be all right in God, he says, you are
wrong.
And he says, and don't be fooled. Because we've all been tempted to try it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He says, in other words, don't think that you're being tried in such a way that nobody else has, and you're the first person who is snowed on. I remember when I was preaching, I was pastoring at Bomb Hole, I was stationed at Han, and Han was on top of the mountain, Bomb Hole was at the foot of the mountain. And it snowed so much going down the mountain, so there was a ski lodge between Han and Bomo. How much you stayed in Bomo, weren't you over there?
I wasn't.
Yeah, okay. But you know how much snow. Right, right. And my church was down in Bomo. That's where Elder Williams, Jennifer Williams, and all of us, that's when Thess and all them were just babies. Thess was two, I think, when I first went down. And one weekend, I was going to go. I had made my mind, this is my church, I'm the pastor, I'm going down the bomb hole. Because they could get down the bomb hole, there's no snow. Because they're at the foot of the mountain, we're on top. And I remember Bishop White and Bishop, they both of them said to me, you know what, you don't need to drive down through that. You know what, I didn't argue. I said, okay,
yes.
We're not going this time. You need people who have wisdom and enough to say to you, and during that time, you know, it was the right thing to say. You know, you need people who are smart to say, hey, that's not a smart thing to do.
Yes.
It's like you need people right now who are telling people it's not smart not to get not to be vaccinated. And so, hey, God, if it wasn't God, we wouldn't have it.
Yes, that's true.
He says, but, and wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. In other words, don't serve other gods, don't listen to other gods. Now go back to Hebrews. 5 more minutes. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice in verse 7, harden not your hearts as in the provocation of the day, temptation in the wilderness. And I've just read you what they were like. Because they were following Moses. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work for 40 years, they were talking about some knuckleheads. He said, you know, so was everybody fallen? No, but God knew he couldn't accomplish what he wanted to accomplish with that huge percentage of them falling.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to have to go into Canaan and run out the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Hivites, and God was going to work with them. But how was God going to work with them and drive these people out if the people that he was sending weren't going to work with God?
Yeah, that's true.
How does God use me to break a yoke if I won't work with God?
Right.
How does God use any of us to do anything for God if we won't work with God? How can God use us to do anything if we don't trust in God?
Yeah.
And they weren't trusting in God. Their minds were all over the place. True enough, they came out of Egypt. But he just couldn't reel them in. I mean, everything that came along, they just jumped on it. Even now, true enough, in many ways, out the way we have church is very traditional. It's a throwback to maybe the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And some of it needs to be modernized. We have some traditions and things that really could go out the window. I wouldn't have any problem with it. Matter of fact, they should go out the window. But when it comes down to the gospel itself and living holy and what's right before God, even if you don't do it, you have to say it is. But it is right, though.
Yes.
Even if you're struggling with living godly, you have to first come to the point of saying, but the way of the Lord is right.
Right, yes.
I should do better.
Yes.
And somebody would say, well, you know you should do better, you got to do it. Would to God every person I know who knows what they should do better would do it. I should get more exercise, mm-hmm. but I don't.
Amen.
I should eat better, but I don't.
Yes.
I ought not eat as much sugar, but I do.
Yes.
Probably you ought not eat as much salt, but maybe you do.
Yeah.
There's so many things that we feel like we can just get away with.
Yeah.
And we know they have some harmful effect, but it's not now. We need to do better, don't we?
Yes.
Well, in God, it's the same thing. There are many things we know that we probably, that we need to do in God better, more. So when it gets to it, but you must never say, well, you know what? I don't pray as much as I used to, and you know what? No problem. You need to at least say, and I need to do better.
Do better, yes.
And I, or whatever it is, and every one of us can think of what we can say among ourselves and say, well, you know what? But don't ever let it come down to a point where you say, that's no problem. That's all right. I don't have to do that anymore. No, you have to at least have the mindset that the Lord is right. And Israel, when they came out of Egypt, didn't have that mind. That's what causes idolatry to come about. When you stop honoring and obeying God and honor and obey something else, it becomes idolatry. Because God is the ultimate ruler of the universe, and God is the one who ordains and made and runs and keeps everything in the universe, and anyone that you listen to other than God and choose over God is an idol or a false god.
Yes.
And whatever level you allow him. So Paul, when he writes in Corinthians, he says, wherefore flee idolatry. Stop listening to other gods and people of other gods other than God. Stop wanting to be a part of other gods and people who have other gods. Flee idolatry. He doesn't say to them, if you look at it, let's see, where are we? I'll read that last one. He doesn't say in verse 14, 10 and 14, flee fornication. He says flee idolatry, because if I can get you to leave idolatry, you'll leave fornication.
Yes.
I can get you to come out of that. And even if you're not a fornicator, if you're an idolater, that's worse. The very first commandment is, thou shalt have no other God before me.
Yes.
That has to be established before anything else you do. The first thing you must do is establish that I am the only God.
Yes.
There are lots of people who are abject sinners who don't even probably believe in God, and they're not adulterers nor fornicators on any level. There are a lot of very clean people who have nothing to do with God. There are people who live in other religions that make them to their religion be very strict and very and a lot of things, but they'll have nothing to do, but they have nothing to do with the true God. That's my phone ringing. That's okay. It'll be all right. It's just a spam. They have nothing to do with the true and living God.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm looking at it. It's right here. Spam.
Mm-hmm.
They have nothing to. They have nothing to do with it. They are ungodly.
Yes.
But they are not unclean. They're, I don't want to say unclean because they are unclean because they don't have God.
They're morally.
Morally, they're upright.
Morally,
yeah,
upright, yes.
Like I say, Obama clean.
Yeah.
A very moral person, but by the same token, ungodly.
Yeah.
So when Moses is going through the wilderness, he says to them, "You got to stop serving other gods. You got to stop being drawn off by other gods and other people." Let me finish this for tonight. "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation," and I'm back in Hebrews now, chapter verse 10, and said, "They do always err." They're always doing something they have no business doing. "They err in their heart." You know, even when they don't show on the outside, it's just in them. "And they have not known my ways." They don't know what I'm like. "So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." And they don't want to know. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another while it is day, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For if we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sway he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not?" So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, why is he saying all this to them at the same time he's saying Christ is greater than Moses? He's telling them, the Holy Ghost is saying to them, now Jesus Christ has come, you need to receive Christ.
Yeah.
He says, don't be like the people when Moses was leading them and they could see the Spirit moving on a daily basis and they still wouldn't get right.
Right. Yeah.
He says, and here it is now, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. What is easier to believe, something that's going to happen or something that has already happened?
Yeah.
That's why we have to say, what, hindsight is what?
2020. Yes.
Everybody can see what has already happened.
Yes.
You know, what's hard to believe after something has happened?
Yeah.
Well, in America these days, I don't know. They had that insurrection last year, and half of them try to claim like they don't believe that. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, the devil is something.
Yes.
But he's saying to them, listen, when the Spirit is speaking to you, and he's speaking primarily to the Jewish believers, he says, y'all can't be like that. You have to learn to obey the Spirit and go along with God. He says, they fell in the wilderness because they wouldn't go along with God. They fell because of unbelief. This was what stopped them.
Yes.
He says, and here we have Christ who's greater than Moses and whose house we are.
Yes.
He says, listen to me. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you this. Allow the Spirit to come in and allow the Spirit to lead you and guide you so that you'll have what you need. This is an impassioned plea. Not only to them, but to us as well. We need to listen to the Holy Ghost. We need to glorify God. We need to glorify God if you're able to hear the Spirit.
Amen. Yes.
If God leads you to a place where the Spirit is being spoke of,
yes,
where Christ is being spoke of,
when the
Spirit comes and says to you, there's something you're going to do, and probably you already know it's not right. But when the Spirit comes and says, you know, God really isn't going to go along with this, you should be so glad that you even hear the Spirit.
Yes, amen.
And the day that, at the time that you hear his voice, when you hear him,
yes,
then at that time you need to allow yourself to change.
Yes.
You need to do some things differently. You need to consider, as Haggai says, you need to consider your ways.
Yes.
That was Haggai's point to them. Consider your ways.
Yes.
God says you need to think about it. You know, because ultimately, and I'm finished. I'm closing my Bible. It's like the kids in the back studying Age of Ages and the Christian's future. It's your future that we're talking about. We're talking about your present. But we're talking about your
future.
Yes. And there are lots and lots of preachers who are a lot more successful than me in getting people into the house of God. That seems to be obvious. But they spend a lot of time dwelling on what people can get out of God now. And you don't really, and all of it, and that's true. But the Holy Ghost would have you not just have God for the now, but for
eternity,
forever.
Yes.
My hope and my goal in God has to be not just for now, but throughout all eternity. I'm doing what I do in God, not just for now, but throughout all eternity.
Yes.
And this is what the Apostle Paul is trying to get the Hebrews to understand. It's not just an immediate thing, but it's a long-term goal.
Yes.
That's why we come to the house of God, everybody standing. So good, Sister Gamble, to have you out tonight. Thank you for bringing the kids out, and I pray that you haven't made them miss any of their homework or anything like that. I thank God for everybody who's on screen tonight. Good to see the LGs out tonight, Ella Jenkins, Ella, Tangela, India. Praise God for all of you. It is a long-term plan that God has for us. It is, in God, the ultimate life insurance.
Yes.
Literally. God is life
insurance.
Yes. Ultimate life insurance. Eternal life insurance. You're going to need God if you have nothing else. Father, I come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I thank you for this day.
Yes, thank you.
Lord, I do so thank you for this day. Another day, Lord, that the Holy Spirit dwells in me and in us. I thank you, Lord, for the mind that we have to serve God and for the way of God. I thank you for the word of God and for the spirit of God. I thank you for everyone who's in this building today and everyone who's listening on Zoom. Father, I thank you so much for the presence of the Holy Spirit and for the word of God, for the leading and guiding, oh Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, touch our hearts and affect us and have your word deep in our hearts, Lord, that we not sin against thee and not turn from thee. We believe, oh God, help us to believe even more. Lord, strengthen our faith and encourage us. For Lord, all of us who have any ailments and any afflictions in these mortal bodies, Lord, touch us tonight and make us always whole, Lord, by your Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Send forth thy healing, O God, from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet, Lord. I pray, Lord, there be any allergies or anything like that. Lord, drive them out. Heal them. Lord, for all joint pain and for every malady there is, Lord, every sickness, every disease, Lord, you are the healer, you are the deliverer, and Lord, you have all power.
Yes.
Lord, give us perfect soundness tonight, and Lord, work out all situations. Lord, in those things, Lord, where we need favor, where we need people to look upon us favorably, O God, Lord, step in, O Lord.
Yes.
Do for us as you did for Esther, O God. In those places, Lord, where we need the right person in the right place, need things resolved, figured out. Lord, step in, oh God, and make it work out, oh Lord. Lord, fix it, oh Lord. Lord, you uphold all things by the word of your power. Lord, by you all things consist. Lord, you move all things and rule over all things and arrange all things. Lord, I pray, Lord, you would do so on our behalf, Lord, as those, Lord, who are your house. Lord, the body of Christ, Christ's church, oh God. The house that belongs to him. Lord, all of us who belong to your precious son, Jesus Christ, who are blood-bought, Lord, who are resurrected with him. Lord, move on our behalf tonight, O Lord. Keep us, O God, in all that we touch, Lord, in all that we have. And all that we touch, Lord, be in thy kingdom and under thy scrutiny and under thy rule, O God. Under thy protection, O God. Under thy mercy, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, let all our children and everybody, Lord, that we have, Lord, that concerns us, Lord, we place them unto you and commit them into your hands, O God. For, Lord, you're our keeper and our sustainer.
Yes.
Lord, we trust you and we glorify you, Lord, and we commit all things unto you, Lord, because all things belong to you.
Yes.
And, Lord, we glorify your name.
We
give you all the honor, we give you all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy tonight. Thank God for all of you coming out. Praise God for you. We'll be back Friday night. It's 7 o'clock. We usually air from Friday night, about 8:30 on Friday night with yourself. And so we'll be there. And then we'll be out Sunday morning, of course, in our Christian education at 10 o'clock and our morning worship about 11:15. So I thank God for all of your great Lord, his pleasure. And certainly, see, don't you feel better? See, don't